So we are on Hebrews chapter 13, which is the very last chapter in Hebrews. And it's on page 412 in the Kindle. How about you guys?
416.
416, really?
We're usually
I'm on the wrong page. I'm on Hebrews. I say we're usually much closer. Okay, yep. 416, you're right. I was on the wrong page. Okay, page 416. Here we go. We are all one. Everything that you perceive, be it seen or unseen, within your awareness or known only as a memory, all that is one. Stand grateful within it, as it, in awe of all that it is. Then love your brother as yourself, remembering that he is yourself, even if he seems to be completely unaware. That's an amazing paragraph to me, because this is not only talking about my brother and I are one, or the tree and I are one. This is saying not only what is here now, but any concept that I have, even as a memory, that is also all a part of this oneness. And that's pretty amazing, because, you know, one of the things that we spend a lot of time learning is that the past is not real, our concepts are not real, and now it's all being all brought back to everything is one. And I understand this teaching. I'm looking now at how in the world do I explain what this teaching means. But I understand this teaching. And I think it's probably very similar to the symbol that I've used before, the Play-Doh. You know, if all you have is Play-Doh, and then you make a whole bunch of different things out of it, you still only have Play-Doh. So if all I have is God, you know, whatever God is, if all I have is God, that's the Play-Doh. All I can do is make things out of God. So even a memory that crosses my mind has to be God. Even a false concept has to be God, because God is all there is. And the real power of enlightened seeing is seeing the Play-Doh instead of what the Play-Doh is formed into. Seeing the God instead of the false concept. The God instead of the, quote, bad memory. The God instead of the rebellious brother in front of you. You know, just no matter what the form looks like, seeing the God. And when all you see is the God, you have enlightened seeing. And so that's what this paragraph is really saying. That's all there is. That's what everything is. Be it an idea, be it a brother, you know, be it a memory, be it a table. It's all God. We are all one. Everything that you perceive, be it seen or unseen, within your awareness or known only as a memory, all that is one. Stand grateful within it, as it, in awe of all that it is. See, we're looking at just the God here in this sentence. Then love your brother as yourself, remembering that he is yourself, the same God, even if he seems to be completely unaware, you know, acting very much like the rebellious brother right now. Verses 4 to 6. God is all things, and all things are you. This is because you are the process of creation that is God, and God is the process of creation that is you. Nothing is separable within the process that is God. All, it is all one, and you are one with it. One of the teachings that I teach lately, teach this year. It's kind of a new teaching that's been coming through me a lot this year, is what I call the four principles of God. And the four principles of God start with what many people refer to as the source, or the absolute, or the supreme, or it can often be called Father in Christian language. And that is life itself, completely prior to any manifestation. That's why it's called the source. So it's unmanifest life. And the first creation that came out of unmanifest life, or the first thing other than unmanifest life, pure isness, the very first creation is awareness. And then the very first creation that came out of awareness is what I often call mind. But it's really the creative mechanism. It's that mechanism that allows form to be created. It's ideas, for example, the ability to have ideas. And then the creation of mind is the world, form, all of this, including our emotions and our thoughts. That is form. The process of creation, then, is the interaction of that third principle, mind, with that fourth principle, form, and the way they interact with each other. That is the process of creation. So as something happens here and we react to it, you know, if we react to it like, oh, this shouldn't be, right? That reaction becomes a part of the next moment. We learned this in Ephesians, right? If we accept what is as it is, that acceptance becomes a part of the next moment. And that's because this third principle of God, mind, and this fourth principle of God, form, are constantly in interaction. But both that third and fourth principle, again, came as an extension of the source and the awareness. So what this is really saying, and again, this is the same as the NTI Ephesians teaching, what this is really saying is that even though I seem to be this body, and that chair over there seems to be something over there, completely inseparable from what I am, the truth is this whole scene, including this body, this mind, that chair, this whole scene, boom, comes into being through the process that I am, in which you are also, in which Dan is also, the process that we are of this interaction between this third and fourth principle of God. It makes everything. Without us, there would be nothing. Without what we are, nothing could exist. Now that's pretty awesome if you think about it. I mean, we walk around in this world forgetting, thinking that we are people, and we think there's a whole big world out there that has nothing to do with us, and you know, we're consumed with a little piece of it, and our thoughts about the little piece of it. But what this is really telling us is that the entire world could not exist without us. It's not that we exist in the world. The world exists because of what we are. And if you pause and think about that for even a moment, that the entire world could not exist if it were not for you. And of course, I'm included in that same you, right? We don't have separateness here. But if you think about the fact that the entire world could not exist if it were not for you, I don't know, maybe somebody can get arrogant about that, but something in me that is not at all arrogant, something in me gets very, very humble and very, very awed at the magnificence of everything. You know, everything is this incredible process, this incredible ongoingness. I don't know, then I lose words. You know, there's a saying, you know, they say that God is, and then they cease to speak. And I think I'm getting very, very close to that right now, right? God is, and then they cease to speak. So again, God is all things and all things are you. You. This is because you are the process of creation that is God, and God is the process of creation that is you. Nothing is separable within the process that is God. It is all one, and you are one with it. All things are the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Not for what they seem to be, but for what they are. Look beyond what they seem to be, which changes, to what they are, which can never change. And you look beyond dreams to the truth of what you are. So we've just talked about this process of creation, which we learned about in Ephesians, with this third and fourth principle of God, mind and form, are interacting with each other to constantly make form, right? Constantly make form. And as a result, they're always changing, because mind changes and form changes. So there's this changing process that's always, always happening. And what this is saying is look at what's not changing. You know, look to discover the essence of, well, again, I'm losing words, the essence of all things, which you could call it life or you could call it existence. Like some people might argue with me, I've had people argue with me, that this chair is not alive, even though I know that it is. But if they argue with me and say the chair is not alive, I can at least say, does the chair exist? And then they have to say, well, yeah, it exists. Okay, so look then at the existence of all things. Look at the essence. Don't look at the chair. Don't look at the brother and what he's doing and saying. Don't look at the news and how people are fighting with everything. Just look at existence. And if you can learn to just look at existence, something happens. Something happens where you become in awe of everything. There's this wonderful song by Peter Mayer called Everything is Holy Now. And in that song, somehow he's achieved this seeing of how magnificent it is that this chair exists. Like to him, he says it's such a miracle that anything exists at all. And it really is a miracle that anything exists at all. It's this whole process that somehow came out of nothing. I mean, the source, unmanifest life, you can call that nothing if you want. It's something we can't even begin to imagine. And the fact that awareness, the ability to be aware spontaneously was born out of nothing. And then the fact that mind, the ability to have ideas and make decisions, was spontaneously born out of just awareness. And then the fact that mind then was able to result in the creation of an apparent form, and that we can appear to live in this and move about in this and interact in this, it's a miracle. I mean, it's an incredible, incredible miracle. And the only problem is we don't walk around being aware of the miracle. You know, we complain about the weather, right? We complain. You know, again, I know I've told you guys this story before, but one of the things that keeps coming to my mind is a movie I have not seen. But it's the one called Ella, where Cinderella gets mad at Prince Charming, and gets really angry, and then says, oh, this is what anger feels like. You know, and I think that if we really understood the plaything that this world is and the miracle that this world is, we would love hunger just like we love being full. You know, we would love the experience of being sick when it happens just like we love the experience of being healthy. We would love the rain just like we love the sunshine. We would just love the miracle that anything can happen at all. That somehow all of this came out of the nothingness that we are and that we get to experience it. You know, it's amazing. And when you start looking at, that's called looking at just the God. When you start looking at just the God, you're happy. How can you not be happy when all you see is the God and the amazingness of everything? So again, this paragraph says, all things are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not for what they seem to be, but for what they are. Look beyond what they seem to be, which changes, to what they are, which can never change. And you look beyond dreams to the truth of what you are. Nothing within dreams can last forever. So do not put your faith in dreams. As soon as I start hoping that a certain thing is going to turn out a certain way, or as soon as I start hoping this form of financial support, which makes me feel safe, stays as it is, I'm preparing myself to suffer again, because now I forgot that everything is God. And the second I forget that everything is God, I'm going to suffer. But if I remember my financial support is God, and I also remember if it's taken away, that's God too, then I'm on an adventure. Then I'm a child playing within my Father. Everything is my Father, and it's nothing but a great big game. Right? That's all that this life was ever meant to be. The teachings of Inner Ramana says that the purpose for this was joy. Right? And it also says that what went wrong was that we forgot. You know, we forgot. And that's what happens. When we forget this is all God and we're just playing, then we begin to suffer. But, you know, losing your income can be just as fun as having an income if you understand that you're just a child playing inside of God and this is all a big game. You know, it's just another experience. And all experiences are a miracle. All experiences are a miracle, not just the ones we define as, quote, good. Yeah. So nothing within dreams can last forever, so do not put your faith in dreams. Anything that is not lasting must fade away. It is you that is eternal. Put your faith in your truth, and you build your house on the foundation of rock. Put your faith in anything that is within dreams, and you have built your house on the shifting sands. Dreams shall not endure. Put your faith not within the symbols of dreams. Follow the symbols to the truth to which they point, but do not stop and wait at the feet of symbols, for all symbols must fade away. Only the truth endures forever. Now, this particular paragraph is referring to the symbols that appear to us on the spiritual path. You know, whether it is the concept, the idea of Jesus. You know, we can make Jesus very, very real. Or it could be the concept or idea of Muhammad if we were Muslim. Or the concept or idea of Buddha. It could be a particular, you know, spiritual teacher, a Muji, a Gangaji, an Adyashanti. It could be anything. And what it's saying is there are these symbols of light that are sent to point in the direction of truth and to help us awaken. But don't take them too seriously either. Don't take them too seriously either, because they're a part, you know, the form of them is a part of the change. And if you cling to anything that changes, at some point you're going to suffer. So you want to stay with all is God. And if your spiritual teacher somehow, you know, goes bad by the definition of the mind and begins having sex with all of her students or something, you don't want to be thrown down by that. You don't want to be tossed aside by that. You want to remember that this is all play. And you want to, you know, again, the miracle worker, this is A Course in Miracles, but the miracle worker's only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself, or for me that means myself. So what that means is everything in this dream is allowed to shift and change in any way possible. My job is to stay still with the remembrance that it's all God. And where we can sometimes get thrown off is when we start forming relationships like with our spiritual teachers, And then, you know, maybe something in them really isn't quite pure yet, and they get pulled off the path, and they start getting into things that we know, I mean, we know within our discernment that's ego, but then we can suffer from that. But if we can be the master, see, that's the whole thing. When we look for the master outside of us, we suffer. But if we can be the master, we can allow even our spiritual teacher to go off the path without us losing our joy. Yes, so we really want to remember, enlightenment is not out there in somebody else. Enlightenment can only be here in me. And my job is to be as enlightened as I can be in any moment. And the only way I can be as enlightened as I can be in any moment is to let everybody else be as they are. Right? So we want to be careful about clinging to the spiritual symbols that come along to help us to awaken. Verses 15 to 16. Love God, remembering that God is all things, but do not cling to any one thing, remembering that it cannot be God. God is not the thing that passes. God is the process by which all things seem to be. So this paragraph can be seen a couple of different ways. It can be seen as a continuation of the previous paragraph, you know, do not cling to your spiritual teacher. But it can also be seen as do not cling to my daughter. Do not cling to my husband. Do not cling to my money. Do not cling to my imagined status. Do not cling to anything is really what this means, right? When I cling to any one thing, I have forgotten that everything is God. Like I said, I think money, my salary is God. Losing my salary is not God. When actually having a salary and losing the salary are both God. Because the entire process of creation, everything that happens, every story, whether we call it good or bad, you know, every bit of it is God. Every bit of it. You can't take any aspect of experience, cut it out, and say that part is not God. You have to accept it all. Every bit of it is God. So love God, remembering that God is all things, but do not cling to any one thing, remembering that it cannot be God. God is not the thing that passes. God is the process by which all things seem to be. Listen within for the guidance of the heart. Follow your guidance and practice it with your every breath. Now, of course, the ego loves confusion. And so the ego would love to, you know, we've just said tonight, even ego concepts come from God. Because, you know, you can't cut anything out, right? And so the ego would love to say, okay then, you know, I can be a shithead. Because that's God. Well, you know, somehow, even though the teaching is agreeing that, you know, when you're a shithead, you're God, the teaching is actually recommending that you not make that choice. You know, that you don't make that choice because you are going to be the one that's happy, in awe, in love, you know, being moved by helpfulness if you remember the truth of who you are. And the truth of who you are is not the shithead. You know, if that's who you chose to be, that's the character, the game, and sure, the character, the game is also God. But when you are fully in alignment with your God self, that's where incredible, incredible joy comes from. So again, even though everything is God, and every action is God, and every word is God, and every thought is God, stay with the true God. That doesn't make much sense, does it? But you understand. Right? Stay with the true God, because when you're in harmony with the true God, that's where your joy comes from. That's when you're really living, you're living the fullest then. There's something slightly dead about you when you're not living from your God self. You're fully alive when you're living from your God self. So listen within for the guidance of the heart. Follow your guidance and practice it with your every breath. Pray only that the knowledge of your truth may be restored to you. Let all things within dreams be just as they may. So this is really encouraging us not to pray in the way traditional people pray for anything to be any certain way. Right? Because again, if I pray for anything to be any certain way, I'm carving something out as God and something else as not God. Right? Let everything be as it is and pray only that you will see that it's all God. You know, that could be your words. I just want to see that it's all God. You know, that could be your only prayer. Let me see it that way. Verse 20 to 21. I love this one. Trust the process that is you, that it may lead you back through dreams to the truth that is the remembrance of yourself. When you start to really understand that everything is God, everything, 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 you can't leave anything out, well, then you can actually relax because you know that your heart is to realize God. Well, all there is God here. Don't you think it's unfolding in order to help you realize what it is? I mean, you're in such harmony with the whole thing. If you just want to realize what it is, you can just relax and let it carry you. Now, it says it's going to carry you through dreams, which means, you know, you're still going to be having this experience of the world. You know, sickness may happen, some death may happen, some gaining money may happen, some losing money may happen, friends may happen, people getting mad at you and leaving you may happen. You know, all that stuff is still happening. But because you have wanted to awaken, you're going to start to see and use and understand everything differently. The dream, as we call it, which is really just God in form, begins to have only one purpose, and that only one purpose is realizing that all there is God. And that's just what every event is about. That's what everything is about. And so trust this process. Trust the God that you are and the God that is all things, to form itself in whatever way is most helpful to bring you right through those dreams to the remembrance of what you and it together are as one. You know, just trust it all. Because all there is God, why not trust it all? Verse 22, let go of dreams because they are not your reality. Verse 23 and 24, the spirit within guides you. It guides you through what you see without. And verse 25, grace lives within your heart. Amen. So yeah, it's an incredible, incredible last chapter. You know, it's just, you know, all there is God. All there is God. You know, don't let go of that thought. There's no such thing as not God, no matter what it appears to be. And then just trust every bit of it. Because if you know it's all God, why not trust it? I mean, you know, we all say we trust God. At least many of us do. Maybe not everybody. But if you trust God, well, then you can trust everything, right? So, assignment. I suppose a good assignment would be if we catch ourselves carving some idea out as not good, like, oh, that shouldn't happen, or I gotta avoid. Let's try and just remind ourselves, wait a minute, that's God too. Why don't I let that happen? You know, that's God too. You know, why don't I, you know, quit trying to control and manipulate and just accept it all as God. That would be a good assignment. And that's the end of Hebrews. So next week we get to start James. And I don't know what my Kindle is talking about. I've never noticed this before. It says 13 hours and 14 minutes left in the book. I don't know what that means. But if it's 13 hours and 14 minutes, that means we should be done by March. Right? If we do an hour a week. So we'll see what that means. Okay, so I'm going to turn off the Kindle. Turn off the recorder. And we'll have our silence.